has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening, Shauna.
Are you the first?
Yes, the first, for sure. I'm not sure about somebody else. There was like a blank sound, but nobody identified themselves. And no one's, you know, it didn't say Joey either. So I think I'm the only one.
Marco?
Okay. Okay. Good evening.
That's what the beep was there. Okay.
We will start momentarily. Today we are studying Parashat Vayera, section 25 from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. And I believe it's at verse 357 is what we did yesterday. But I have to double check that. No. It's 357 is where we are studying today. L'shem Yehud Kutshabrihu Ishkinte Idhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Leakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayino Amadunai Elohino Alena Maseya Deno Kunene Alena Maseya Deno Kunenehu. Begin Kahita Ba Avraham Bim Haim Nuta Kadnachat Lemitraim Wikadazal Leara Deflishtim Lebarnash Deva Alenachata Goy gufa amika dachel vila yakel lisau kami goy gova. Mavad kashar chad kishra dechevel ve'ela min gova amar hoil tikashirida kishra da mikan. Ulhala he eol taman kach Avraham Beshata deva'a lenachata lemitzrayim ad la yechot taman kishar kishradim hemnuta dekad meta deit takba Beya Ulvatar Nachat. This is how Abraham cleaved to the faith. This is an allusion to the secret of the Shekhinah at the grade of sister. When he went down to Egypt and when he went to the land of the Philistines, this is similar to a person who plans to descend into a deep pit, but is afraid that he may not be able to climb back out. What does he do? He fastens a rope high above the pit and says to himself, "Now that I have tied this knot, I will enter the pit." Similarly, before Abraham went to Egypt, he secured himself with the knot of faith. Only after this was secured did he travel to Egypt. My commentary. The pasuk is clear with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Remember, Malchut moves between the left column of judgment and the central column connecting to wisdom. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I've missed seven verses because I couldn't get on, so I'm hesitant to know what I missed before answering.
And not all of them are on the recordings file yet, so it's it's understandable. But Malka was here for most of those, so maybe she has a comment or question she'd like to say. Or maybe you're driving. I don't know. You can't be driving in the ice, though.
I'm here. It just goes back to my comment I made about, Abraham was always connected to, in the spiritual realm. And tied a knot, I'm not quite sure what that's. I know it's not literally tied a knot on a rope, but I guess it's kind of like not being detached from the upper walls. I guess that's maybe the meaning of that.
Well, it's two possible meanings. One is the knot of the tefillin, which is basically the mitzvah of tefillin is essentially about faith, because there's no rational understanding of tefillin. You just wear it. You put it on, and if somebody is able to perceive energy flows, the way they describe it is there's a light beam that comes that starts at the knot and goes all the way up to the sky where you can no longer see it. Obviously, the light starts higher and then comes down to the knot. But that's one possibility, is that it's talking about the knot of the tefillin. And the other is that it's a metaphor, that he makes sure that his connection is sound and working and healthy before he goes into a pit of negativity. That's really what this is talking about. That Abraham cleaved to the faith, and the last verse we spent the whole half hour talking about the meaning of cleaving.
Right.
So Abraham cleaves to the faith, meaning he's cleaving to Bina. He's cleaving to the central column of Dot, essentially. And then he can go down into Egypt, and then he can talk about Sarah being his sister, being the Shekhinah.
Right.
But if you're not connected to Bina, then when you strive to connect to Malchut, you're going to get lost, because you're going to be attacked by the negative system that is within Malchut. Because Malchut is the pit.
Do you think that by him, Abraham, it reminds me of the wayward prayer, the traveler's prayer, when you go, before you leave your home, you say that, read the traveler's prayer, repeat it, pray about when you leave, so that you don't get into all the punishments, to assemble down to earth to protect you on the way.
And right.
Also, with Abraham making sure he was connected to faith, his faith or the upper worlds, to bring down the light, do you think that's why the light shone so much on Sarah? Because they were unified?
Well, Sarah was a higher level than Sarah is a higher level than Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was always connected to that light, as we have the Midrash telling us about how when she would light Shabbat candles, they would last from Shabbat to Shabbat. They would never burn out, because she was constantly connected to Bina.
Okay.
Which is the higher level than Chesed, that is Abraham. Or maybe she was connected to Dot, and which is more likely, but that's really the issue. that Abraham knew that he could not enter a pit, enter into Malchut, into Egypt, without being connected to Bina. So he made sure he was connected to Bina before he went into Egypt. And the same thing is true before he went into to the Gaza, where the Philistines were.
Mm-hmm. Would the knot be a metaphor for us today, as we say the traveling prayer, by making it a sharing prayer, that it not only be for our safety when we leave the house? I'm thinking of tomorrow, we have to leave. And to me, the knot would represent asking not just our safety from there to the doctor appointment, but all who have to be on the road tomorrow. That would raise it to a higher level.
Well, the traveler's prayer is on a level of Malchut. So I would have to say, it's not what this discussion is here, but it is always good when you say the traveler's prayer to create a vessel of all people who travel. And then that becomes a sharing consciousness where you can transform the desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire to receive in order to share.
To me, just having to leave the house and as cozy as it is, and also the idea of every place you go, you're being exposed to the COVID virus. That.
Well, are you traveling within Lake Charles, or are you having to go to Houston?
No, it's within Lake Charles, but it's on the other side of town for us.
Okay.
And we could have moved it to next week, but he has too many other appointments next week. So, and it was supposed to be tomorrow afternoon, and they called and asked us to come in the morning. And we've not been outside, you know, in all this freezing weather. So I just saw it as another level of protection,
well,
like he sees the pit, well, I see just leaving the home and going in doctor's office. We're not around people, but we sure are in a lot of doctor's offices, and it's sick people who go to doctor's offices.
Well,
so
I understand.
I really feel that we need protection every time we leave, and that's kind of what I've been doing.
Does Tony do tefillin? Does he still do tefillin?
I'm sorry, what?
Does Tony lay tefillin?
Oh, yes, he does.
Well, then that is your protection shields. That when you say the traveler's prayer as you leave, he has connected to the pit. You know, he is connected to the knot.
Okay.
But he just needs to get up early enough before you leave.
Oh, well, that's no problem.
So he will, if he's laying the tefillin, he's connecting to the protection.
He's done it for years, and he does it every morning. I mean, it's part of his davening.
Right. Understood.
Now, when he's not feeling so well, he doesn't stand. He has to sit, but...
You're not supposed to stand anyway when you say the Shema.
Well, I was thinking the Amidah.
Well,
and I don't want him, so I can't really be sure, but I mean.
No, when you lay tefillin, the prayer that you say is the Shema. The only time you stand, it's easier to put it on.
Well, I was thinking of Amidah, you know.
understand. Should we go on, or should we stay with this?
We can go on.
I agree.
Verse 358. O fake na me kad alayara iflishin begin kach safat emet tikon laad wiad argia lishon shaker davi melech da amar betom betom levavi uvnikyon kapai vikarachadru leya makitiv gamanochi yadati ki betam levavcha asita zot vila the translation. And he did the same when he entered the land of the Philistines. This is why it is written, the language of truth is established forever, but a lying tongue is but up for a moment. This applies to Abimelech, who said, in the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands have I done this. But Elohim answers him by saying, I know that you did this in the simplicity of your heart. He did not say, in the innocence of your hands. As Abimelech claimed, thus Abimelech lied when he said, in the innocency of my hands. And this is why it is written of him, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. It is important to compare verses in the Torah to learn their differences. By this comparison, one can learn what questions will reveal wisdom. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, in previous verses, we learned that Abraham was a metaphor for truth and Abimelech was the one for not telling the truth. So it's repeating several days back.
Yes, but it's expanding the idea.
To the innocency of that.
The hands being actions.
Mm-hmm.
So but if you'll remember what Abimelech said was, how can you have fooled us? When he was talking about Abraham and Sarah, and he took Sarah into his house, and he was asking Abraham, how could you have tried to fool us and tried to get us to sin? And he's explaining that, you know, if I had known, I wouldn't have done that. And Abraham's answer is, but there's sin in your area. Your land is not positive. Your people are not positive. And it's well known, or he doesn't say that, but that's what's implied. And because he knew that, he had to say, she was my sister, so you wouldn't kill me. And Abimelech professes innocence. If I had known she was your sister, I wouldn't have taken her into the house. But Hashem is saying, in your heart, in your thoughts, that was what you were aware of, but you had given orders that pretty women were to be brought into your house. I'm making that up as from a midrash. I haven't read it, but it's obvious that was the discussion. Because what action would Abimelech have done that was lying? He's saying, I wouldn't have done it But he gave this order for otherwise she wouldn't have ended up in his house. And so this verse is adding that additional amount of the hands, of the action, of you must, he must have ordered it beforehand without understanding is the real consequences. I mean, he did understand the real consequences, but, you know, he was pretending like he didn't.
Well, I thought that the kings only took unmarried women. I mean, I'm sorry, let me repeat that. The kings would not take married women, but everybody else or any other status they would take. So why did it make the difference? He was his sister. I think that the king would have taken her anyway.
But they were married.
Right, but he didn't know that. But he
the
said,
king
I wouldn't have taken her.
The king didn't know that, but what they did with married women is they killed the husband, and then she's now a single woman. She's a widow.
Right. Okay.
So Abraham wasn't worried about her going into on her own because he knew she was connected to the Shekinah. He wasn't worried about her being, you know, accosted, or whatever the modern term is, you know, legal term. But the he didn't want to be killed because as is her husband, he ran that risk. They wanted her, they can't take her because she's married. But if they kill him, then she's a widow, and it's a totally different structure.
Yeah, true. But it states that the king said it, that she was his sister. So would that have mattered if truly that she was a sister and not his wife? I mean, why do you say I would not have taken you if I knew that she was your sister or taken her?
He still would have taken her.
Right.
But he would have killed Abraham.
Even though she was his sister, they would have killed Abraham?
No, because she was his sister, they wouldn't kill Abraham. They would leave him alive.
Okay, so this is about Abraham. Okay.
If Abraham had said, "This is my wife," they would have killed him and taken her because she's now a widow.
Right.
So when he says, "She is my sister," they're going to take her, but he's not being killed.
Right.
Now, in the movie, he's worried when she's taken.
Right.
Of course, Hollywood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're out of time. So we have a Zohar class at the 7 o'clock, the later class, and when we're done with the Zohar, we'll move into the study of Abraham. I don't mean Abraham, Moshe, or the Zion Adar. So everyone have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.